So our preschoolers start out learning that God is good. God made them. God loves them. Jesus wants to be their friend forever. Those are the three tenets of the preschool lessons that they focus on and what it kind of drills down to every month. And so as they look at God is good and God made us this month, and we look at that lesson when we see that all the things that God gives us are good gifts from God, right? That's the preschool lesson, but how do we take that up a notch? How do we level up maybe a few notches from that? And what does that mean for us? Because where our three-year-olds need to walk away knowing that God made them and God made them perfectly, as adults, we want to follow that with some purpose. What does that mean for us? How do we apply that to our lives? And I love how in the story they talked about that all the gifts come from God that we have. This whole series we've been doing on first fruits is a recognition that God gives us all these amazing good gifts. God gives us to give back to God. God gives us our setting. God gives us our talents. God provides our income. God provides our needs. God gives us all these things. He created time to give us, and what are we going to do with that, right? And so this morning, as we continue in first fruits, I want us to think a little differently. This isn't something that normally comes to mind, maybe, because we've talked about time, talents, money. But what about our placement? If God, okay, let me see if I can get a couple amens. God made us, amen. Amen. God loves us, amen. Amen. God has a plan for us, amen. Amen. So if God placed us in a position, in a place, then God has a plan for us in that place, amen. Amen. That position is a gift. Let me ask, how do we think about the places that we're in? Your job, your neighborhood, the teams your kids are on, the teams you're on, the clubs you're in, the groups you hang out with, your gym buddies. How do you view that place? When you get asked to be a part of something, when Pastor Rick was asked to be on the Grocers Council, did he view that as an accolade for him? Or did he view that as a place that God was positioning him as a gift for him for a purpose that God had for him? Free ice cream? There's been promised free ice cream from the ice cream shop. We will see. I don't think it was a bit. We'll just get him Dairy Queen, Maryland, and be done with it. No, I'm just kidding. So, but if we're honest, a lot of times in this world, in this culture where it's all about us most of the time, we view the positions or the placement from the lens of it being all about us. Maybe I'm the only one. Like, is my job my, it's just all about my provision. Or maybe my job is a burden that I have to endure. Like sometimes I view my job as a gift for me, and sometimes I view it, I'm not talking about me, by the way, you guys are not a burden, I promise. But I've been in that job, and I know I talked to some of you guys who are stuck in that place. We view our positions as a testing. Or maybe we view it with a positive attitude as a mission field for what we can go accomplish. Or maybe we just view it as God gave me such a good gift. I got this great job and this great paycheck and this great position of authority, and I get to be in charge. Yeah. Let me ask you, the placement that God has you in, what do you think his real purpose is in that placement? And what do you have to offer God to bring him the first fruits of that and to offer others? I have to tell you, I was really challenged probably about 2 months ago. I was invited to be part of a virtual conference, I guess you'd call it, with Steve Deneff. He is an author and he's a pastor. He's authored a lot of books. He is a tremendous great mind that is far beyond my reach sometimes. But he was talking to us about our placement. He wouldn't have used that word, but it was the first thing that occurred to me. And so I want, and he invited us to share this. And as soon as I heard him, I thought, oh, this is supposed to be part of our first fruits. So I want to invite you on this little journey today, because he shifted some perspectives for us. So when we think of where God is sending us out into the world, or we think of what we're doing, like think back to Peter. Think back to the disciples, the apostles, when Jesus called them. What did he tell them he was going to do with them? What did he tell them he was going to make them? Fishers of men, right? I'm going to make you fishers of men. And we often think about that. He tells us that in Matthew and Luke and Mark. It all records, we're going to make you fishers of men. But after Jesus' death and resurrection, he re-encounters Peter. One, Peter's hanging his head. He's denied Christ. There's this whole restoration of Peter, right? But Jesus does something in that. I actually want to read to you this morning from John chapter 21. Jesus is talking. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. Gen translation, you know I'm being straight with you. Like, you know everything. You know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. You see, in that moment, the resurrected Christ changed Peter's profession from fisherman to shepherd. I really reflected on that, because what do fishermen do? They bait, hook, catch, and utilize for themselves or someone else. They bait, hook, catch, and utilize. Who likes to be baited? Oh, y'all acting all holy in here. Who has ever walked onto a car lot and felt like some skeevy guy was coming at them? Used car salesman, right? Let me not discriminate, or skeevy woman. I don't know. I've always had men car salesmen, I think. But and they're like, look at this shiny thing. And you're just waiting for the bait and hook. Is it just me? Can I get an amen anywhere in the house? Who likes that feeling? Nobody likes that feeling. We understand what scripture means when Jesus says he had compassion on them because they were lost like sheep without a shepherd. But Jesus didn't stand up on the mountaintop and go, y'all fools, you're lost. You're lost. You know what the world hears when we tell them they're lost? They hear, you're a lost cause. We're holding judgment over you. We're better than you. You got problems. Mm-mm. Jesus said, feed my sheep. You see, fishermen bait and hook and catch, but shepherds care for. Shepherds raise up. They feed. I want to give you a core. Okay, I'm going to just tell you, today is a little different. You guys know I am all about the scripture. And this is all from scripture, but we would need an hour to unpack this if I took you to every scripture. So I'm going to ask you to take some of what you know from every Sunday that Pastor Jen is always bringing from the Word. It'll be in your study guides, some of the places, because this Word is full of shepherding advice. This Word is full of instruction on how to care for the sheep. And I pulled four things out for us. You see, if we look at the placement that we have and we recognize that Jesus has put us there not to catch lost people, but to shepherd them and care for them, then our behavior changes. Shepherds know their sheep When Jesus is talking, my sheep know my voice, I know my sheep. Shepherds know their sheep. Y'all know that a town would have one big sheep pen, and all the shepherds would bring their sheep, and they could point out their 100 sheep from everybody else's 100 sheep. They know when their sheep have a problem. They know. Can I tell you that the world today is dying to be known? That in this time of toxic division, of polarization, people need to be known. That means they need to be heard. That means we need to listen. You know what? Your coworker, that because you're both on Facebook saying a whole lot, your coworker that you know has got the exact opposite opinion of you on, name the thing, vaccines, politics, race, all the things. They need to know that you know them beyond their political view, that you see them beyond their t-shirt or their bumper sticker. You see, God has placed you as a good gift to them. God has placed us in places to be a gift to the people around us. We have to know them. That means we need to listen and understand. We need to have empathy for what they're going through. I'm going to wait on that. Shepherds know their sheep. How are you doing at knowing the people in your circles, in your spheres of influence? This is nowhere in my notes. I'm just going to out with this. Who, when you're under pressure, acts your best? Who is Mary Poppins when they've had the worst day on the world and the weight of the world is on their shoulders? Any takers online? Any? Yeah, no. Guess what, guys? The people at your work that are getting on your nerves because they're acting like jerks, they're not doing it. Usually not doing it because they're jerks. It usually means they're under great, tremendous pressure, and they need someone that sees them beyond their words and their actions to see what's going on in their lives. We have to know people. Shepherds don't just know their sheep, they feed their sheep. What does that look like in human? Some of us do. It's our love language. Peggy feeds us. She cooks great. It's fantastic. Some of us, our love language is cooking, and maybe we do feed some people. But it's more than that. From a theological perspective, we talk about it in culture all the time. What's feeding you, right? Where are you getting your information from? And I want us to look at feeding as wisdom. In the circle you're in, what are you doing to grow and develop that circle? And you may say, well, Pastor Jen, I'm not the boss. That's not my job. Can I be real? I've been not the boss a whole lot of times, and we listen to the not the boss way more than we listen to the boss most of the time. Y'all are, again, acting all holy up in this room. I hope our online family's being a little more honest. Most of the time, we listen more to our coworkers around the water cooler than we listen to our boss. So what are you feeding people at the water cooler? What are you feeding people around the lunch table? What am I feeding people when I'm sitting over in Clarity with a group of friends? What do the people around me hear us talk about? When my coworker comes or my gym friend, because y'all are my coworkers, like you know my coworkers, so I have a more limited sphere of influence than you have, quite honestly. But when my friend comes and their marriage is in crisis, and everybody's telling them, just leave them. That's not good for you anymore. You grew past that relationship. Do this, do that, blah, blah, blah. First of all, please don't go, Jesus said you should da 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 da. Because nobody who's facing a marriage in crisis wants to hear, well, Jesus said you should clean up your act and you shouldn't have had an affair and you should have stopped watching those dirty movies and you should beep, 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 beep. Nobody's ever had that. Not helpful. But you know what they need? I hear you. Let me encourage you. You want to go out to lunch? Let's talk about that. Let me see your problem and hear it. Let me, as your friend, maybe be able to point out. And then there's a point, if the conversation is going more right, it's going well, that you can say, you know, God is for you. God is for your marriage. That still takes two people, by the way, being surrendered to God anyway. But you gotta get to point A before you can go to point B. You have to be the light and the hope and the love before you can. So what are you feeding? Let me ask it a different way. I really had to ask myself this question. I had this this little break in between my military career and pastoring, where I was the events coordinator for North Point High School. It was when it was the new high school, so I was really the events coordinator for most of the county, because every event was held at North Point. And we had the culinary school, we had all this stuff. So it was a lot of pressure, right? Pastor Rick laughed at me, because I get out of the Pentagon in this high-stress job, and suddenly I'm calling him like, I need a flag from the People's Republic of China. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, we're hosting a delegation from the People's Republic of China. He's like, you are the only person I know that could leave the Pentagon and get a job 5 miles down the road at a high school and come up with that sentence. How does that even happen, right? But it was pressure. And I dealt with all the different programs and the specialties that the kids did and their instructors. And I dealt with the board. And I dealt with the building service workers who were exceptionally overworked because we hosted everything. And I was getting real frustrated because I'm a perfectionist. And that place, I am in mission mode. I'm like, here's the timeline. Here's what you got to do. Get it done. Like, I'm all G.I. Jen in that moment, right? And God was like, how are you enriching the lives of the people that you work with? Instead of expecting from them, what are you giving them? Are they seeing something different in you? And if you are stuck at a job or stuck in a position or you are feeling challenged or the people you work with are just challenging, maybe instead of praying for how to better endure your situation, we should pray for how you can influence and enrich the lives of the people that you are looking at as a thorn and God is looking at as an opportunity for someone who needs to be shepherded. April, they're a little quiet. We might need to bring you back up for pie announcements or something. I don't even know, man. Shepherds know their sheep. Shepherds feed their sheep with wisdom. And shepherds lead. And leading takes a voice. And once again, I will say that you don't have to be the boss to be the leader. We lead from the front, yep. We also lead from the middle, yep. And sometimes the best leadership we do is from the back. And as we lead, we are supposed to not have the voice of a boss. We are supposed to have the voice of a servant. What voice do you have at work? What voice do you have in your friend circle? What voice are you listening to as you walk in those places? Because Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." We're supposed to be shepherds that represent Jesus. Would anybody recognize his voice through us in our situations? How are we doing at that? Pastor Rick, I think they want Ollie back. I think they're done with me. Let's go back to God as good. And he is. And therefore he calls us to be good. How are you using your voice in the places God has put you. Finally, shepherds protect. You know, we think of shepherds, sometimes we have this meek picture, mostly because we get all the Bible art wrong, like, right, we have this meek little guy with a staff. No, David used a slingshot to kill bears and lions with his slingshots, bare hands. Like, shepherds protect and defend. Shepherds care for and look after. Do you know how much people in the world need a safe space right now? Do you know? Let me flip the script. How much do you need a safe space right now? How much do you need to not feel beat up, put down, stressed out? How much do you need to feel appreciated and heard and built up? How much do you need to feel safe? And by the way, I'll just call it out. Like, sometimes we think we got it all together. Just this past week, I was put in a situation, and there was nothing wrong with the situation, but it triggered me, and all of a sudden, I felt not safe. I did not feel okay. I was like, I need a safe space card right now. God and I had some great prayer time, and we worked through that, right? But for a lot of us, we're still in the middle of the not safe place. And whether that is the social media monster, or that is the toxic division we talked about, or that is our home life, what is going on in schools right now, the fights, the shooting, the violence, everything that's happened post-pandemic, the world is crying out for safe space. You know what? Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. We should be a walking safe space. We should be a walking safe space. For the person that you most disagree with, that you most don't get along with in your workplace or in your sphere of influence, whether it is an in-law or a cousin or whatever, for that person, church, if we are being the shepherds that Jesus called us to be, then no matter how much we might not speak day to day, that person should know if they are in crisis, you are the person of character that they can come to. That they can say, I need a hand. Would you help me? Would you just listen? Would you not judge? Y'all, Jesus modeled this for us so much. And I gotta tell you, Jesus did it supernaturally. Like, it was really cool, right? The woman at the well, he knew everything about her. She didn't say a word. He had that God thing going on. The man at the pool, he knew the right question to ask because he knew the man's story. See, Jesus, it just happened supernaturally, but for us, we have to do it intentionally. We have to change our perspective. We are not there to catch people. We are not there to judge people. We are not there to hook people into church. We are there to love them and shepherd them. And when we do that, Scripture says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. When we walk around and we shepherd people, then they begin to ask us, where do you get your strength? But by no means am I saying don't invite them to church, but please don't go, your problem is that you need to be in church, hand on hip, because I never did that. What do guys do that? I don't know the male stance for that. Gotta be in, I can't even do it. Like, pastor, hands in your pocket. Fingers or thumbs? Thumbs? Thumbs. Dude, need to be in church. It's a problem. Don't do that. Love people. Know people. Feed people, lead people, protect people, because protection is healing. You know, This past week, I found out that one of our cardio combat family, one of our one of my workout posse, right? Like, because you guys are my sphere outside of the gym, pretty much. She has cancer. And she's gonna start a whole bunch of treatments right away. And there was a part of me, like right away, I was like, hey, when can I bring meals? But before I got to send that text, this little voice inside my head was like, well, you love her, but that's not your congregation, and you have so many responsibilities. That was the voice of the enemy. Because I love y'all, but you've got Jesus and you've got each other. And if I have to pick between making a meal for you or making a meal for her, I'm gonna do both, but Jesus might just tell me to go make a meal for her first. He leaves the 99. That's, man, Jerry, I love that you love that passage so much, and I thought about it and you, this whole sermon writing. Leaves the 99 to go after the one, to care for the one. Where has God placed you? What are you doing with where God has placed you? What are you doing with that toxic work situation or that difficult spot? Or with your gym buddies? What are you doing around the water cooler? What are you doing around the soccer field? Mary and I have been going to some of the kids' games, Pastor Rick too. Been having fun watching our littles play all their sports. Y'all, some of these parents. Church folk, don't be those parents. If you're listening to me and you don't know Jesus, still, don't be those parents, okay? What are we doing? Are we treating the place that God has placed us, and not just treating it, but in our hearts and in our minds, recognizing and surrendering to the fact that his placement of where we are is a gift for us, and we need to give back in that gift and reflect him? I want to show you guys something real quick as we wrap up. Can you put up the temple courts slides for me? You see before, well, okay, so we've got Adam and Eve in the beginning. I guess we just had Adam jump out of the box in the video today, right? But God's good. He made this perfect place where we're in perfect community with him. We broke that. The flood came. The rainbow came. Never going to happen again. People started all over, and the whole world went to heck in a handbasket all over again, right? Except one. And so the whole Old Testament, there's this division. The whole before Jesus, there's this division where the Holy Spirit, where God and the Holy of Holies resides, and the people have to, and by the time the New Testament comes around and it's been silent, I want to show you, this is the same thing. They're a little hard to see, so I put them both up there. But the temple in Jerusalem, see, people had to come to God. They had to come to the Holy of Holies. They had to come to the temple to worship because that's where God resided. There was this separation that had been created as God began to put a much greater plan of salvation for us forward. And in that, you have the court of Gentiles. So that's where anybody could go in that wanted to worship God. And then you had the court of women. They could go a little closer, but only if they were Jewish women. And then you had the court of men, and you can't really see it on that one, but it was over here. The court of men is over here. And if you are a Jewish man, then you could go in there. And then you have the court of priests. And the court of priests is in here. It says court of Israel, but it's the court of priests right here. This is the Holy of Holies where God resides. There are all these barriers, and people had to come in and cross over. Some people weren't allowed. And then Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believed. Jesus came so there would be no Jew, no Gentile, no Greek, no slave, no free. Jesus came for all. And you know those gifts we talked about? In Jesus coming for all, when we receive Jesus, we get a gift of the Holy Spirit, God himself within us. And instead of the world needing to come into God, God sends himself in us out to all those places. God sends himself in us to all those places. So what's your place? Where are your flocks? Is it your work, the teams you're on, your groups, your community? Who are the sheep in your flocks? And instead of viewing them like fish, what if we viewed them like sheep and took our full responsibility to shepherd the situation and the placement that we've been in? Do you know them? What are we feeding them? How are we leading them? And probably most important today, are we protecting them? Are we a safe place for people to be? Are we providing healing or are we doing damage? What are you doing with where God has placed you? Pastor Rick, would you come down and join me? By the way, I want to say to you all, this is a word for all of us. This is a word for the church. But we are incredibly humbled and honored to walk beside you because we see you shepherding well. We see you shepherding in this community. We see you 15,000 pieces of candy and 4,000 bags shepherding in this community with notes that say you're important and you matter and you're valuable and God loves you. Yeah. So we're going to pray for you, and then we're going to share something really exciting with you. Would you pray? Yeah.
Heavenly Father, pray with me, guys. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, we just step in front of you, Lord, and we would just ask that you lead us, Lord, and that you would remind us of where you're placing us, Lord. And then would you prick our hearts and prompt us to step out in that place that you've placed us, mm-hmm. Lord. Most of all, would you lead us, though? Would you guide us? Because we know that you've prepared the way for us. But sometimes we need help. Mm-hmm. No. All the time we need help.
Yeah.
All the time we need help, Lord. So, Lord, would you bless this day? And we thank you for the message this morning. And we thank you for the families that we have. In your name, amen. Mm-hmm.